It's BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM, live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. We've got some interesting stuff cooked up for Nickel or Dime in honor of Aaron Hawksworth's final day on the show here. Live coast to coast on the BetQL Network, inside your Odyssey app, wherever you may be. You take us with you every single day, AUDACY. And get whatever you may have missed as a podcast on demand later by searching BetQL Daily. We just gave our Derby plays. I think we've got a 5-horse box for a trifecta. We'll firm that up before Lightning Bets, which will wrap up the show. And we got some great stuff from Sean Zarillo earlier, Eddie Olchick the other day on the Derby as well. If you're looking to get some research into Derby plays before tomorrow, like I said, in the podcast. Thanks for joining us live if you've done so this morning, coast to coast on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BetQL. To watch the show on YouTube, Odyssey Sports Channel as well. Game 6 is tonight in the NBA. Chance for the Cavs to close out the Magic on the road and the Mavericks to finish off the Clippers in Dallas, plus some early looks at T-Wolves Nuggets, Game 1 tomorrow, and Pacers Knicks, Game 1 on Monday. Maybe at least a quick look at the series. Jimmy Patsos already predicting an upset in that one. But a post-draft pre-schedule release look at the NFC West. We've done it division by division every day this week, and we come now at the end of the week to the NFC West, where the Niners went to the Super Bowl last year. And then they met the Chiefs, and that's what the Chiefs do. Patrick Mahomes shows up in the Super Bowl, and they beat whoever is put in front of them. The Niners win total set at 11.5. That's plus 105, so just about even money. Then you've got the Rams and the Seahawks. Actually, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals, all within 2 wins of each other on the win totals at the books. Rams, 8.5, minus 125 at BetMGM. Seahawks, 7.5, same juice, minus 125. And the Cardinals at 6.5 wins, minus 140. None of these teams with legitimate conference or Super Bowl odds aside from the Niners. Plus 240 to win the conference, 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. And they, of course, are the heavy favorites, Joe, to win the division at minus 210. They did have some losses on the defensive side of the ball, but I don't worry especially about the Niners bouncing back from that. They've got the right systems in place. Still a question about whether Samuels or Ayuk may be moved. It feels like that point in time has passed, and you're going to get mostly the same team back in San Francisco.
It feels like everybody else in the division got better. Right. And I know we do this with most teams where it's more difficult when optimism runs high to target the teams that got worse at this juncture. But it does feel like the Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals, while there is quite the gap, they all got a little bit better. Did San Francisco get a little bit worse? That's the big question. So they're keeping Ayuk? Is that official? Yeah. I guess.
I mean, if they were going to do it, would they have done it before the draft or during the draft? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see the upside in getting rid of him at this point.
No.
Once you got through the first round, figured definitely Friday. Like, okay, so Ayuk staying. Yeah. That's how I took a look at it. Interesting that on the win total, it is juiced to the under. That is not what we typically see with San Francisco, a very buzzy team, a dominant team for much of last season. Minus 125 on the under with a win total of 11.5. You mentioned more than $2 to win the division. Maybe a little up there, maybe a little bit, but I certainly understand why that's the price. How do you pick this team apart? That's my question. That's what I keep going back to. Like, what's the big issue? We've had the conversation a million times, everyone has, involving San Francisco. Purdy works because everything else around him is at times flawless, including the coaching, the play calling. That's why it works. But if you're still doubting him, I don't know why you would be at this point. As long as he can stay healthy, they're going to be in the mix and they're probably going to win the division. Doesn't mean I can't make a case for somebody else or some of these other teams going over their win total. But they're cut above everybody else right now.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. Like, The Niners are the favorites for a reason, and I probably wouldn't make a play. It would take, like, Trent Williams, who's going to be 36 in July, to be injured and missing most of the season and things to just fall apart, and maybe a team like the Rams, you know, could step in there and win the division. But it's going to be tough. They just have so many weapons, and it would take a few key injuries to sort of derail the San Francisco team.
But Joe makes a good point here. It feels like the rest of the division has improved. I don't think that means they catch the Niners, but the Rams going 1-2-3 on defense in the draft. Seattle is moving in the right direction, I think. The Cardinals are what the Cardinals are as long as Kyler Murray's health is in question, which it feels like it's always going to be a question. But they're all right there, 7, 8, 9 win teams who, especially in the Rams and Seahawks case, I think, Joe, will be in the conversation for wild cards throughout the bulk of the season.
Yeah, it's the Aaron Donald retirement, first off, is something that you have to mention. The heartbeat of that defense. How impactful is it going to be? We don't know. I mean, that dude was out there every single week, even to the bitter end. He was still making quite an impact. Yeah, they take advantage for the first time since 2016 without having a first round pick. They just kind of hang out there, and one of the top defenders falls to them in your reverse on the defense. So they really tried to bolster it. I think the Corum draft pick was very interesting. I'm expecting him to play probably immediately. The win total 8.5. That is juiced a little bit to the over. That makes sense to me. This is at least a 9-win team as far as I'm concerned. So I like what they did. I like the additions they made. Jonah Jackson, sneaky good pick for the line at guard. So that's pretty strong. Yeah, Trey White, when healthy, it's always the thing with Trey White, when healthy, he's a terrific addition to that secondary.
They even have Jimmy Garoppolo suspended for performance enhancing drugs, but hey,
what?
Maybe Sean McVay can, we could get a little Jimmy G resurgence here with the Rams. So weird.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to play at some point, right? You would think. Like, Stafford is not a young man anymore. He's probably bound to miss a couple of games at some point. You don't need Jimmy G to do anything more than just manage things. I'll say, Fisk and Verse up front, big moves in the draft. Like I said, going 1-2-3 in the draft, Cameron Kitchens, who they got to play safety as well in the third round, all quality additions. They're right there. They're plus 110. The number tells you they're just about expected to be one of those final wild card teams. Seattle, here's the thing. I like Geno. Geno can be really good sometimes. Geno can also be exceedingly mid at times. Sam Howell's the backup. It's not like you can pull the plug on Geno if he goes south for a couple of weeks. You can turn things over to Sam Howell? Really? They didn't get any younger either, really, on either side of the ball. That secondary, they've got their soft spots. I could see Seattle being more like a 7 or 8 win team that misses the playoffs, and that's kind of how they're priced, plus 180 to make the playoffs, 7.5 wins. Then, you know, almost, I want to say flip-flopping with the Rams a little bit. The Rams struggled most of last season and then came in at the very end. It felt like that Seattle was destined for that playoff spot. I think it's gonna flip somewhat, and Seattle's gonna be just outside that picture most of the year, unless Geno can have another fountain of youth year.
Byron Murphy's getting a lot of steam to the Bears at 9, and for him to fall to 16, some people thought he was the best defender in the draft.
Yeah,
so interesting, Aaron. Like a lot of these NFC West teams early in the draft, they decided to go defense.
Yeah, I mean, no Pete Carroll, a whole new coaching regime. It's hard to expect the Seahawks to just have this amazing season in year one, right? So I would think they get off to a slower start, but wouldn't be surprised if things start to, you know, gel towards the end of the season. But I don't expect much out of the Seahawks this year.
You know, what's interesting, Joe, you mentioned most of the teams in this division focusing on defense, or at least the 3 second tier teams, especially focusing on defense in the draft. And you're right. Arizona did that as well. They get Darius Robinson. They get Max Melton, Elijah Jones. It's the coaching staffs in the NFC West have long been about, hey, let's find some different ways to do things on offense. We're going to see what we can do to innovate, put some points up on the board. And again, we're coming back to that storyline of his defense catching up finally to the schemes around the league, and they're going out and getting the talent to counteract these offenses within these defensive schemes. I'll be curious to see if that's where maybe the Rams and the Seahawks and even the Cardinals to an extent start to push back on the Niners by saying, well, no, we're going to go out and get the athletes that can actually counteract your offense.
And the Seahawks bring in Mike McDonald. Mm-hmm. I think that was a good hire. However, as a rookie head coach, I don't care what organization you're coming from, it is quite the challenge to beat both Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. That's what you're asking him to do. Not only do those teams have more talent right now, but now you've got to out-scheme those guys. That's going to be difficult. And that's probably going to take a bit of a learning curve. Like sometimes we see, you know, on a regular basis, there's always a rookie coach or two that comes onto the scene and people are like, whoa, look at this. Huge jump in wins just in that 1 year, and a lot in part because of the new coaching staff. That's difficult to do in this division.
Yeah, it feels like this is the Niners. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams are in the conversation, if things do kind of, if the Niners are regressing or, you know, hit by the injury bug, like we've seen in the past, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams do win the division.
I don't understand this Cardinals win total thing. 6.5, okay, but it's juiced minus 140 to the over.
Yeah,
really? They're that much of a lock for 7 win? Please,
Marvin, baby, let's go.
Maserati, yeah. Maserati, Marv. We're also looking at maybe the Cardinals having to make a decision on Kyler in the next year or two, and when they can start to finally get out from underneath a contract they probably already regret. And NBA playoff game 6 is tonight in Orlando and Dallas, plus looking ahead to game 1s in the second round. Coming up next right here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.